I'm not sure where this message is going to land. I don't know where God intends to do with it, with you, with any of us. I'm just bringing it because that's the one He put on my heart to bring, so somebody needs it for something. There was a time in the life of Israel. And you go over, and if you, I'm going to ask you to read what I can't give you out here. All the passages, but we're going to focus on 1 Samuel 12. That's what you'll have up here. I'll hit some from 1 Samuel 8 and tie this together. And I want to just, the only background I just can, at this point, can give you is the people of Israel looked at all the nations around them, and these are heathen nations. But they said, we want to be like them, and we want a king. And we don't and we don't want you just to be our king, we want an earthly king. You just have to say what's wrong with them. Well, what's wrong with them? And it offended the Lord, which I guess so. But they wanted what everybody else had. This message seems maybe harsh in some ways, but already I'm thinking of the pain that I see here this morning and the hurt. And there's lessons in this, even though it may seem harsh in one way. Just want to say this as we begin. You know, don't trade your faith for what other people say and other people think. Please hear that. Don't trade your belief in Jesus. I don't care what doctors are great people and the profession is. I've known some that personally weren't so great. So have you. But the profession is. But I'm telling you, friends, you listen to God no matter what is ever said to you, but not just a doctor or a lawyer or a pastor. I don't care who it is. And certainly a politician. Whatever they say doesn't matter. What matters is right here. That's all that matters. You believe this stuff. You listen to this word and don't trade for something else. That's the whole, one of the key points in this is don't trade what you have in Christ. Don't trade your God for anything else. Don't do it. Don't go there. And so, 1 Samuel is dealing with a problem with Israel. I don't know. What were they thinking? Just we want to be like everybody else. We can't think and be like everybody else, friends. God's been really putting this on my heart. That Tony, be careful. You're not like everybody else. I didn't make you like everybody else. You can't be like everybody else. Sometimes I tell the Lord, can I just get mad and really let somebody have it? And no, you can't. You're not like everybody else. I called you to live differently. Don't you struggle with these things? You say, can I just step out of the Christian box today and just get in there and straighten some people out? And God's saying, I didn't call you to be like everybody else. You have to be who I made you here on this earth, and we're different to the world. We're weird. They don't understand why we're meeting here today. They don't understand why we do the things we do and don't do the things we do. So let me read this in 1 Samuel 12, beginning with verse 12. And when you saw that Nahash, king of the Ammonites, came against you, you said to me, this is Samuel, you know, and the Lord, speaking for the Lord, no, but a king shall reign over us when the Lord your God was your king. What'd they do? They said, you saw a heathen king, and he came against you, and you said, we want a king. He's a heathen king, and he came against you, and now you want one for yourself? What is wrong with you people? You know what it shows? How far their hearts were drifting from God. That now we want to be like these heathen, we want to be like these fallen nations, these heathen nations out here. And he said, the Lord your God is your king. But now, therefore, here's the king whom you've chosen and whom you have desired. And take note, the Lord has set a king over you, and if you fear the Lord and serve him and obey his voice and do not rebel against the commandment of the Lord, then both you and the king who reigns over you will continue following the Lord your God. However, if you do not obey the voice of the Lord, rebel against the commandment of the Lord, then the hand of the Lord will be against you, as it was against your fathers. Now therefore stand and see this great thing which the Lord will do before your eyes. Is today, you know, we don't usually read this part. You say, who was the king? Well, you remember? It was King Saul. And we say, okay, they wanted a king and God gave them a king. However, there's something that happened here we never read. They don't preach this part. You're going to hear it today. When you trade your faith, when you trade your God for other things, for other people, to be like somebody else, here's what happens. He said, I want you to stand and see this great thing. Well, it wasn't so great for them, which the Lord will do before your eyes. He said, is today not the wheat harvest? And I will call to the Lord. This is the prophet Samuel. And he said, I'll call to the Lord, and he'll send thunder and rain. He said, it's time for you to harvest, and I'm going to call to the Lord, and he's going to send thunder and rain on your wheat that's dry and ready to harvest. You want it there when it's young. You don't want it when it's time to harvest, because it's going to mold and rot. And he said, I want you to see that you can perceive what your wickedness, that your wickedness is great, and which you've done in the sight of the Lord in asking a king for yourselves. So Samuel called to the Lord, and the Lord sent thunder and rain that day, and all the people greatly feared the Lord and Samuel. I bet they did. Too late. And the people said to Samuel, pray for your servants to the Lord your God, that we may not die for asking a king for ourselves. You could go on, but I don't have the time. He tells them one positive thing in here, I didn't put it in here, but you just mark it, make a note. He goes on to say, the Lord will not forsake his people for his name's sake. You need that. You need to hear that. Every one of us. The Lord will not forsake his people no matter what happens. The idea here is the whole point. That's not an idea. They sinned a great sin. They gave up their faith in God as their king, and they wanted their own king. So I'll title this, there's some the little bullet points in here and the points we want to make. But first of all, there was misplaced wants, trust, and priorities. They got all of their wants and trust and priorities all mixed up. Let me say something to you that you need to hear. If you really push it, if you really insist on it, you can get what you want. You can even with God, sometimes you can push and push and push for something, and he'll give you what you asked for. They wanted it. We want a king, and God is their king, and they're saying, no, we want a physical, we want a man to rule over us. Friends, it didn't work out then. It's not working out now. Do you realize what's happened? Do you see this in this country today? This is a lesson for today. Israel did this, and we've done it. We've traded our faith in Christ for faith in government leaders, and look where it's got us. What happened then has happened now and still happening. Nothing's changed. History repeating itself. This used to be a Christian-focused nation. We weren't all Christian, but I mean primarily this was a Christian-focused nation put here to help nations of the world and certainly to help Israel. And then Christians began to become more entertainment focused, more self-centered, more all about me, and I want to go to a church that's a big name guy, and they got all these programs for me and my family and my kids and all this stuff, and it sounds so great, and I don't want to be challenged with my own personal failings and inequities and sins. But I want to hear good music and a lot of loud music. I want to go out with my ears ringing after church. and I want a short message so I can get to lunch early. Really, you know, and sermonettes produce Christianettes. But that's where we are. And so then there was a move. The devil's behind it all. And it was like, it's wrong to pray on football fields. We shouldn't use God's name. Can't use the name of Jesus. This is offending what percentage of the population? 0.00%, not even 1%, 2%. And so another 98%, 99%. Of the people who like it or don't mind it, stood by and watched all this disintegrate. And then let's take God out of the classrooms. And we want a king. We want somebody else. We want something else. And God was removed from the school. How's that working for you, as Dr. Phil would say? How's that working for you? How do you like where your kids have gone now? And then out of the courtroom, and then out of the government, and out of Congress. Take God out of everything, and let's worship a man, and let's all look to a man to save us. Let's look for a man called president to stand up there and be the head of a nation instead of Almighty God. How's that working for you? And now God's people are grieving and suffering and have been for some time. But listen, friends, listen. Christianity is the stumble of Christians. Now, I'm not saying you, but in general, because we lost our focus, we became so personally, ego-centered, socialistic. What's in it for me? Instead of taking it out there and saying, no, we've got to go into all the world and preach the gospel. We listen to the government say church separation of church and state. You keep your Christianity business right there in the church and barely let you do that. There's more coming. They're going to, and if we don't get this stopped. Anyway, and so you just keep it. There's nothing in the Constitution that separates church and state. That's all a lie. It just says the government will not respect any particular religion. You have freedom of religion to worship God the way that you feel led. That's all. But look what we've done. And we chose a man or a woman or whatever you want to call it, a person over God, over Christ. We said, let the government send us money. Let's get our Social Security and let's get our benefits. And when we go through COVID, and let's get all the COVID money. And we'll see how we're caught up and we move just like they did. We talk about the right president, the right governor, the right person in office. But we don't talk about the right God, the righteous God. He's our king. He's our president. He's our CEO. Do you see it? We've traded. We've let it be traded. And what have we gained? We've lost. And God is saying, here's the king you've chosen. How's that working? If you really want it, see, you can get it, but you may not like it. You ever wanted somebody in life? You ever wanted them so bad you just couldn't stand it? I just got to have that person in my life. Especially when you're younger, you know, you just get it on the lather. I got to have that person. Go back to high school. Didn't you? Weren't there somebody in high school and you just, every time you saw them? Go to reunion 20, 30 years later. What do you think? How would that have worked out for you? But if you'd have pursued it hard enough, you see, there's so many things. If you really want it, you know this. How many of you have pushed something and pushed it and pushed it and you got it? But then when you got it, it became a curse to you almost. You pursued someone or something and you got them, and they got you, or the devil got you through them. God, it's a hard road back up out of that old pit, isn't it? Once you fall in the pit with something like that, it's a hard road back. And you know, these lessons in the Old Testament are for us to learn. And God would rather for us to learn through what happened to others instead of the hard way. But what is it with us as people? We just have to learn the hard way. You know what was wrong with Israel at this time? Do you see it? Do you see what their problem was? Israel could not leave its addiction to bondage. They still had a bondage mentality. Pharaoh ruled over us, our ancestors, all these people, our ancestors, for all these years, and it was in their blood. It was in their genetic makeup at the time. They couldn't leave bondage. Had to have somebody physically there to tell them what to do and order them around. Let me ask you something. Are you under some kind of bondage? Why do you keep going back to get to the punishment? Why do you keep going back and asking for it? Have you asked God to break that bondage in your life, to deliver you from that, whatever that addiction is that causes you to seek out pain? I mean, do you keep going to some people and friends or family members and you keep trying to rescue them and all they dish out to you is pain? Why do you keep doing that? Are you addicted to bondage? I mean, you want the pain? And the answer for many people is yes. I deal with it all the time. I try to help people. You know, God, use me. God, use me. That's what I pray all the time. Show me, give me the words, the right words, the right wisdom and discernment and understanding to help this person be delivered from bondage. It's like, why are you staying in this relationship when they hit you? Why are you staying in this relationship when they're screaming at you all the time, throwing things at you? I have some guys, and sure enough, you know, they'll open up their shirt, and they're just black and blue, and it's, what? She hits me. And you just stand there, and you keep taking this? You're in bondage. You're no different from these people right here. They couldn't leave that bondage mentality. We want somebody to rule. God, you're too good. We need some suffering here. How many people are not happy unless they suffer? Think about it. It's all you've known. And a lot of people have grown up in a suffering environment and a hard family situation. And bless your heart, you just have that addiction. And you keep leaning towards it. Well, I won't beat you to death with this. God didn't want it that way. I just wants the message across. See, this is one of the worst days in Israel history when they wanted a man instead of God. Did you want a person? Do you now? Have you ever wanted a person instead of God? In other words, have you ever wanted to be married to a person rather than married to Christ? His affection and his love wasn't good enough. Yeah, God was king of Israel, but they wanted their own deal. They want to be like everybody else. And when you do that, here's what happens. When you want to be like everybody else, you will compromise to be like everybody else. Your faith. Your Christianity. You will compromise your ethics and your values. When you want to be part of the system or belong to a group, be accepted by a certain element of society, then you will surrender your lots of what you most of what you believe to be accepted by that group, whatever it is. I'm going to tell you something. Being popular is not our calling. Being faithful is. We're not here to be popular. We're here to be faithful to the Lord and be His witnesses. I just am amazed at what happens. I want to give you this. It's not up here. I just want to read a bit of it. Samuel, in another place, told all the words of the Lord to the people who they wanted a king. This is in 1 Samuel 8, by the way. This is to warn them. It's what's going to happen. And you look at the parallels. Just listen to the parallels. He said, this will be the behavior of the king who will reign over you. He will take your sons and appoint them for his own chariots to be his horsemen, and some will run before his chariots. He will appoint captains over his thousands and captains over his fifties, and he will set some to plow his ground and reap his harvest. Some to make his weapons of war and equipment for his chariots. He'll take the best of your fields and your vineyards. He'll take your daughters to be perfumers and cooks and bakers. He'll take your olive groves and give them to his servants. He'll take a tenth of your grain. Does any of this sound familiar? He'll tax the living daylights out of you. That's what it's saying. He'll take your freedoms and he'll take your life away. He'll take your children and he'll own them. Sound familiar? A tenth of your grain and your vintage and give it to his officers and servants. And he'll take your servants and your female servants and your finest young men and your donkeys and put them to his work. He'll take a tenth of your sheep and you'll be his servants. And you'll cry out in that day because of your king whom you've chosen for yourselves, and the Lord will not hear you in that day. I looked at it and I haven't brought a message on this in a long time, but I didn't see this before. And you know, new revelation, never quit reading scripture. Read it over and over and over. You'll see new things. And God was saying, does this look familiar to you, Tony? How much of your life is being given away? How much taxes do you pay? Look at all this. How many young men have been sent off to fight wars? And there's been justifiable, but a lot of it hasn't been either. And he'll take you and your young men and your women, and you'll send them off somewhere. And I thought, my God, look at it. Has it changed? It's just the same. And it's getting worse. And he'll take more than a tenth, by the way, these days. And we become a servant of the government. A servant of what? We're supposed to be servants of the Lord. The Lord our God. Israel traded its holy calling under God for what? Rules and regulations and desires of man. So there's just a little note here, and you better mark this down. Only God can handle absolute power. Only God. Look what we've done. We've traded all of our freedoms and our privileges for rules and regulations. This is not a harping at the government. This is to say, Christians, don't give up your Jesus, your King, your Savior, your Lord for anybody. Watch what you're doing. Think about your life. And I'll say to you who are hurting and suffering, don't give up. Don't give in to that suffering. You give in to Jesus Christ who can heal that suffering. Don't give in to your pain. Don't give in to your worries. And don't you believe it when you're promised, oh, we're going to give you this and give you that. We had a president many, many long years ago who said the most fearful thing in the world is when someone comes and says, I'm from the government and I'm here to help you. Do you know who said it? Does anybody know who said that? Ronald Reagan. Yeah, you're right. Wow, was he right, huh? It's not that it's not okay to take, if you got Social Security, whatever. This is not against it. This is saying, but don't let that be your God. You thank God that he's providing that way, but don't let anything in this life be your God but God. That's the whole thing. Don't let pain and suffering, don't let worry, don't let stress. I give you honest confessions. I give them from my own life. I want to tell you this right now. I'm probably more stressed at this moment than I've been in a long, long time. And you don't know it, but I'm going to tell you. Because there's just things happening out there. There's things happening with family. There's just stuff going. And I'm trying, and I get these calls. I'm trying to handle all this, and I can't make it all work together. I can't even stay out of the VA doctors long enough. I'm saying, what's going on? Now you want to work on the shoulder? What do you want to, you want to replace a bunch? God. I've even been thinking, and this has been going through my mind. Okay, if they do that shoulder replacement, how am I going to reach over in the truck and put the keys in with my left hand? I'm trying to figure out. I've even been trying to do stuff with my left hand. And guess what? I tried to tie my boots. That doesn't work. And I started looking at all the stuff. And how long if they do that? I'm not saying this. But see, I let the worry over that. And I let the stress over that. And of course, family things won't go any further than that. That just there. And then I'm deeply concerned about all of you and your suffering. I care a lot. And I'm not always able to be where I want to be when I used to could go and do what I wanted to do. Seems like I just live at the VA for one thing or another. You need x-rays. You need blood tests. You need MRI. You need this. I need a steak and potato. Do y'all give that? And that didn't happen. But you know what I mean? And it just, we all have our things. But if you ever call and you don't get me or something's going, I'm probably because there's something happening. I'm having more difficulty. I noticed a while ago, I had to lean down to get the windbreaker off because I can't. And it's like, God. And I've been in shape all my life. The Lord of mercy. Sitting about me, I'm just sharing, and a lot of you are under stress, and I'm concerned about what's going on in the world and how it's going to affect your lives. I'm a pastor of a church. God gives you a pastor's heart, a shepherd's heart, under shepherd's heart, and I care about you and what happens to you. I care about what happens to Christians everywhere, but you're the ones right here, and I have people calling me because they can't get help in their churches, and they call them, would you talk to us, and would you, and the pastor's calling, would you see my people, would you help me with this and that, and it's like, I can't do all this like I used to, but I keep trying, and I keep stressing, and this weekend, I had to come to grips with the fact, I did, I finally, just, and on the way down here this morning, about this message, it's like, God, I'm being tempted to trade you for worries. You can even make worry a God. You can make stress a God. You can make pain a God. I never had to deal with that before. I've just never been a guy that had anything wrong till a couple of years ago, and then it seemed like, at night I just dream. This is a little bit of exaggeration, but I just dream of surgeons in these gloves coming at me saying, more, more. Give me another piece of your body, more. It's like, you ever feel like that? In other areas of your life? Or do you ever see anybody with their hands stretched out saying, more money, more money, more money? Give me more money. And you just, be careful. Your fears, your worries, your stresses, and that's what God was challenging me with. Careful, Tony. Your tiredness. I have more fatigue than I used to have. And I know, I don't like hearing it. They keep telling me, it's because you're older. You ever hear that? They tell you that, don't they? And, some rest of it. And, we go to the VA. Tom and I visit the VA a lot. We're regulars. And they keep telling me, you're older. And it's like, I used to handle all this. I used to go anywhere. I just keep going. And it's like, now I come home, like on Sunday afternoon, I'll eat and sometimes go out and we'll have the message and go out and eat with someone. Time I get home, I just fall in the chair. And it's like zombie pastor time. If you ever see me, you ever come by and you see me walking like that? It's like, well, we know what happened. He's in his pastor zombie state. I worry about my family. My sister, and she's losing her eyesight. When you retire, Tony, live up here, because I want you to be closer to me. And you think I don't work on my heart? Work on my kid. She won't mind me saying it. She needs your prayers. Please pray for her. She can't drive anymore. Then there's just things like that. And I'm sharing this with you. Don't get focused on me. I'm saying all of a sudden I can get so focused on my own pain or other people's pains, what's happening, trying, and that can become your God. And God was showing me, careful, careful. Worry, stress, pain, sorrow can become a God. It can become the center place of your life. That's scary, isn't it? Can food, you think, maybe? And I don't want to meddle too much. I just don't. But it could, couldn't it? What do you do when you get stressed? Do you turn to Christ and you're comfortable and have peace with Him? Or do you have to eat, do, take whatever, something to feel better? Anyway, I have to go. We got to close this out. That let me give you this next point as quickly as I can. So when we get these misplaced wants and trusts and priorities, what happens? Well, the expectable result. The inevitable result. And what is that? It's suffering and chaos. I had one of the BA docs sit me down and talk to me a while back. And I was just telling him about all the stuff and trying to pastor and trying to be a good family member and trying to be a dad, trying to be a brother and doing everything I do. And he said, "You know what's wrong with you, Tony? Chaos." I'd never heard anybody say that before. He said, "You can't get a handle on anything right now. You can't fix it. And so it's chaotic." And he said, "Chaos will cause you more stress and suffering than nearly anything else. Because your life's constantly morning, middle of the day, night. You wake up with it, go to bed with it, have bad dreams about it, can't sleep well with it because there's chaos. There's nothing solid anymore." And I said, "Well, my faith in Christ." He said, "Good. Anything else?" "No." "And what about you? Is there too much chaos? Is the devil trying to use that to work its way into your life to be your God?" Let me give you some things. Here's the inevitable result of them of Israel wanting a king. First of all, I'll tell you some good things. They learn that wanting and needing are not the same thing. Do you know the difference? Sometimes I get that confused myself, what I want versus what I need. I tell God I need a lot of things when really I want it. I've been telling Him I really need to win the lottery. It feels good to get our way until payment time comes due, doesn't it? Feels good to buy a new vehicle until you got to pay for it. Israel felt really good. They had their king. They got what they wanted. They traded their love for God to service to a man. Now, here's what Saul did. He defeated the Ammonites. This is a good seminary study, by the way. He defeated the Ammonites, the Philistines. He did it through Jonathan. He drove the Philistines out of Israel. He battled the Moabites, the Edomites, a lot of ites here. He took on the ites and the king of Zobah and destroyed the Amalekites and captured the king Agag. He did all that. He looked pretty good on the surface. As I say, where I come from, he looked pretty good. You know what his difficulty was? You ready for this? Because it's so true in so many people's lives today. Here was Saul's difficulty. He lived in fear. He was full of pride. He had an ego that needed constant stroking. And he took credit for others' accomplishments. Let me ask you in here, how many of you struggle with too big an ego? Easily offended, upset, doesn't take anything to set you off. Don't tell me what to do. Don't talk to me that way. I know what I'm doing. Huh? And how many have too much pride? And by the way, it used to be this was all a guy thing. But the more ladies I talk to these days, they admit they're pretty prideful. Any of you ladies struggle with pride? How many of you look at it, you know, you're struggling, you put on your makeup and you do all this stuff. And then some gal walks in without any makeup and she's just that perfect little thing. And you're going, hussy. And guys, we do it too. You know, I used to be so, well, y'all remember. And I pushed weights and I won Mr. World Gym. Do y'all remember that? I won that. I'll show you pictures sometime. You'll say, you? Yeah, well, things are falling. But it used to be up there. But a guy can come in looking somewhat like I used to be in that kind of shape. And I'm thinking, jerk. You know what I really think? It'll fall one day. You just wait. You'll lose it. Oh, yeah. When your chest becomes a mess. Oh, yeah. You know, everybody knows what I'm talking about, right? Enjoy it while you can. And deal with it when you can't. And I don't say nothing. None of this is for my benefit. It's just simply to say, I go through this myself. How many of you, by the way, live in fear? Fear of something? Fear of closed spaces? Fear of fire? Fear of somebody doing something to you? Fear you're going to lose your money? Your health? How many of you fear dying? Yeah, I do. I don't live in some horrible fear, but I have apprehensions. You know why? I think it's because I've been around so much suffering and dying in my life. I just have this apprehension. I have stood by so many graves, and it's like, No. My calling has actually sometimes carries with it some negatives. I don't want to see it anymore. I don't want to near it. I even have trouble with hospitals. Do you know that? I really have trouble going in hospitals. I want to see people, but I just get apprehensive anymore. That's fear. That's unwarranted stuff. I'm sharing my stuff to say, if it helps you then to know we're all human and we go through this stuff. I get the shakes when I'm going to have to go somewhere and have to deal with it. Never had that in my life. God finally revealed what that was all about. You know what was part good part of it was? I laid for days in there. Remember when I had all my stuff and then had that emergency? It's like I just have an apprehension. I smell the anesthetics and all that. And it's like, oh. And I have to push through it. And I do. I push through it because I've been there. And what was the first time? How many days were I in that hospital? Many. And it put a fear there. That's mine. What's yours? What about your pride, your ego? You have to be constantly told how good you are, you're okay. Well, let's look at the consequences of Saul's disobedience. We really are closing. Here we are. 2 years after he became king, he violated the priest office. It only took him 2 years, and he offered a burnt offering without Samuel the prophet being there. And God said, only my priest, my prophet, can offer a burnt offering. And because you're king, does it give you that authority? Do you see parallels today? Think they do anything above the law? Above God's law? He disobeyed God by sparing Agag and the livestock. God said, "Go! I want you to destroy that whole place, that whole bunch of people, and their king, and I want you to even destroy the livestock." And Saul did that. He killed everybody but the king and kept the livestock. And then the prophet comes along and he said, "Did you do what God said?" He knew he didn't. He wanted to see what Saul would say. And Saul, "Oh, yes, I yes." And he said, "What's that bleeding that I hear? That the bleeding of the sheep I hear in my ears." That's a good way to convict someone, right? You killed all the sheep? Yeah. What's that I hear? By the way, when you try to lie and cover up, it'll always get out, won't it? You think you made it, it won't work. Just don't do it. Just speak it and get over it. He disobeyed God in all these things. God told him to destroy it all, and then he lied to the prophet. He tried many times to kill who? David, who was God's anointed. When God anointed David, he said, Saul, you're out. You're done. I've got me another young guy here that's going to do what I want him. He's a man after my own heart. He will be. He even went to Endor and consulted a witch. And boy, is that a slap in God's face? Here's the king that Israel wanted. Boy, they got it. So, you know what was also part of, I've learned from Saul here in studying this, I'll give this to you real quick. I saw coming out of these pages here, I thought, you know, God, how God gives you these thoughts and to share with his people. I said, wow, look at that. Man, when you're wrong, when you're in the wrong, don't you really fear someone in the right coming along to expose you? That's why he wanted to kill David. He was wrong, and he feared David being in the right. Oh, we run in fear when we've done wrong and we won't confess it. When we're trying to keep somebody else from finding out. When we're lying to ourselves about it. So how'd God clean up the mess? Oh, there was a hard solution. Saul failed as king, and when Saul failed, the people suffered. When the king fails, the people suffer. Do I need to say anything more? When you have an unrighteous leader, you will pay the price. Everyone. But I want you to hear this. God chose David, a man who would succeed. Don't you forget, in the midst of your suffering and your pain and your worries about your child, about your loved ones, about your mom, about yourself, don't forget this right here. God always has a plan. He's promised that all things work to the good of those that love the Lord and are called according to his purpose. And right now, in your life, don't you forget, just as God had a plan to get these people out of this mess, God has a plan to get you out of yours. Israel wanted a king, and God gave him the king, but he also had a plan. And what was his ultimate plan? He'd bring David on the throne. And the descendant of David one day would be the King of Kings, Jesus Christ, the Son of God. God already had a plan, and he was working it out. And he said, you people hurt me. You slapped me in the face. You did the bitterest, most evil of things when you said, we don't want you as our king. We want a man. And yet God says, I will not leave or forsake my people. They are created in my image. I love my people. And one day they will have the true king. I'm going to bring them back. And Jesus Christ will reign over them. Man. Yeah, it's powerful stuff. Thank you. It just, no matter how morbid, no matter how we mess it up, God is the redeemer of the foolish, the rebellious, and the sinful. Aren't you glad? So reasons for, lessons for today. If you're taking notes, well, hope you take some of this down, because this is the end of this message. Thank God, right, I'm through with this one. There's only one king, Jesus Christ. Secondly, don't even think about compromising your faith. Just don't do it. Not for anybody, not for anything. Be sure what you pray for is what God wants you to pray for. Be sure it's according to his word. God's way always leads to blessing and fulfillment. Man's way leads to suffering and disaster. And this for all of us, for me, for you. Be content being the special, unique person that God put you here to be. Don't be somebody else. Don't play a role. Just be you. God made you to be you. Don't put confidence in a person, because all people sin. Trust only in Jesus Christ. He's the sum of all things. He was before all things. He's over all things. Yeah, it started out bad. And things right now look bad for a bunch of you. But don't you give up. Don't you give up. Don't you give up. Don't you give up. Don't give up. Don't give up. Don't give up. Don't anybody in here give up. You keep coming. You keep praying. You keep believing because God has a plan. If they messed it up, you've messed it up, all of you messed it up together. What you learn from this? It happened way back then. God still has a plan. God will redeem you. He's what? Jesus Christ came to save foolish, sinful people. Sinners like you and me. And the blood of Jesus cleanses us from all sin. So right now, you walk out of this place and you keep saying to yourself, and don't you let the devil distract you with traffic, people, or radio, nothing else. God has a plan, and all things work to the good in that plan for those who love Him. And God's going to fix it. It'll work out to His glory. Just trust Him. God is faithful. God has a plan. Thank you, Father. Thank you. In Jesus' name. Bless you people, and all honor and glory to you. Amen.